Hey, there he is.
What?
I'm getting excited. I'm titillating with excitement and glee, the fact that I finally get to podcast with you again.
I see that.
Hang on, I see you feel the same.
I'm excited. I'm ready to go, man.
All right. Well, screw it.
If we're not going already.
We were like pseudo going. I didn't have my good mic recording yet, but we were just sort of casually discussing the race and where he lives in the world and how he's not in the same time zone I thought he was in and how I feel bad now. But anyways, hey, you're listening to Just Here for the GLSR. GLSR. Man, I am going to say confidently one of these days. My name is Sammy B. I'm the driver of the 22 and one of the admins here in this amazing league. And I am elated to say he has returned back to join us after he's been slogging it out there in the shipping world. It's the captain, Chris Scala.
Oh, I still am. Don't worry. Still am. Still kicking it. Yeah, I'm literally doing laundry right now. 11 o'clock at night, Eastern time. And I got to be at work at like 5 a.m.
All right, well.
Oh, they're at work. We're good.
Well, you know, we'll make it work. We are going to make it work. And we are.
I don't.
We are very excited because this is like the most overdue episode ever. It's Chris Evans is finally on the show. And I said to him, like, I think we've been putting this off for over a month now. Chris Evans, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's glad to be here.
All right, and as we were casually, you know, talking off air before you arrived, mm-hmm. just about where we ended up in the Indianapolis race and just how I feel like me and Evans always seem to end up on the same stretch of track a lot of the time. But right. I guess we will just get right into it, and we're going to talk about the penultimate race before the championship, the GLSR 200 at Indianapolis.
Yeah, that was a fantastic race. More strategy coming into play. And, you know, it looked like one guy was going to go out and just beat the living tar out of the field. Actually, it looked like two guys were going to. And then it turned into, guess what? A fuel mileage race again. And this time, though, there was a late little yellow hanky thrown out there. And it made things very interesting at the end.
Yeah, I have to ask, since you're here, what secret program is Ace been running in the background where their strategists have it dialed in? Because this is the second year in a row an Ace driver has won at Indianapolis. And according to what you said off air before we started, you said that both Cody and Drift were good to go to the end on their gas, right?
Yeah, so them two were on their own strategy, and me and JW are on the same one. So we split in half and see if one works, one won't. So last 2 years, it both works.
Well, in fairness, too, if you watch Drift and Cody come to pit road on our last stop, they were all going all but maybe 10 miles an hour,
yep,
coming out of turn four onto pit road. They actually had to speed up to pit speed limit instead of slow down to it. But either way, and then of course some odd things happened on pit road, but needless to say, if they weren't going to make it, I would have been shocked, because I mean they were, like I said, going all of,
as
I think Ray Haroon would have passed him in 1911.
I'm pretty sure Cody said he had like a half a lap to the good to the end.
I mean, I think what was fascinating about this race is that it is kind of an all-out type of track where you can really drive it in hard. But like you said, just the nature of it, it invites a fuel mileage race. And it's weird to see how people, you know, the comers and goers in this race, where it was just a rotating door of all of a sudden you had a different top 10 every top. You had a different top 10 every 10 laps. You just had different guys who kind of kept shuffling up, shuffling down, shuffling up, shuffling down. And that's what I adore about this track, is that it's exciting. And I also, I've felt this way the past few seasons, where I'm like, I think I could be fast here. I feel like I could, it's like I get halfway into a run and I'm like, I think I like this place. I think I have it figured out. And luckily that happened much earlier in the race. And I don't know if the other part of it is that if I'm getting superstitious, if I just need to start running red trucks. The last 2 weeks, I've run red trucks. The last 2 weeks, I've been in the top five every now and then. So it's like, is this a sign? I don't know. But I suck in on pit road, so that's not changed.
Oh, me too.
Oh, Scala, I'm so glad you missed it, because I had the worst pit stop of my entire life. I stretched the fuel as far as I could go. I was up into third. I just wanted to get as much fuel in the truck, because I'm not the best at fuel saving. So I was like, I need every lap out of this truck so I can try to sort of save on the last stint. And cautions fell my way. I was like, you know, I was in third when a bunch of people had pitted. I'm like, all right, I'd stayed out a lap or two more than everyone else, I can make it. And I was like coughing into my pit lane, and I don't know what happened, but I missed my pit stall. So then I tried to back up to go towards it, and I had no gas. So I'm bump starting it backwards down the pit lane because there's no fuel. So I'm just thunk, 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 going backwards. And then I was too far left. So then I had to try and get to go forward. I went a whole lap, like there, I almost went a lap down. And it's on the broadcast, and I don't know if it's people realize it. JW was in first, and I'm driving for the life of me, because I just went from third to 23rd place, and I'm trying to not go a lap down, and I'm racing JW for my life because I'm like, I won't go a lap down. Oh, it was so frustrating. But you know, you gotta practice everything if you're gonna do well. But it felt good to not be super slow out there. But then again, I think more people are fuel saving and tire saving than I realized.
Oh, I know I was. I was definitely more the tire side, because last year I really did not help myself with the tires.
I was surprised by how many people double stinted the start. I was not prepared for that. That was not something I thought people.
I double stinted twice strategy. Just in case.
Wow. See, I didn't, but that's me not thinking. That's me just going fast and trying to get lucky. Which things did fall my way at different times, so I can't complain too much. But
well, and so, we've all had those issues on pit road. And the best thing you know is at least we can say that the race this week didn't end under scrutiny of admins making stupid calls like other races this week.
Yes, like a certain, a Miguel Massé, who knows. That's a whole different story. But, hopefully we don't have anything of that caliber for our championship race and our championship four that will be going for the although I did see a post that made me laugh a lot, where it was the classic meme format where you've got like one girl walking away, the guy looking over his shoulder, and then his significant other looking offended. And it was the attractive girl says green white checker finish, and then the middle person says FIA, and then the person being angry looking back says the rule book for Formula One. So apparently they wanted to do what we do in NASCAR and have a green white checker finish. So,
well, the one I saw today was the one that had the white mask on or something, and it said FIA, and then the one below it took the mask off and it was NASCAR.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, it's funny how, you know, now, especially with the playoff format that has been in NASCAR now for a while, and everyone's like, oh, it's going down to the last race. And some people are like, yeah. So I don't know, it's funny.
Some say Netflix played a role in the finish too.
Yeah, it's funny. Big money. I mean, maybe Michael Massey is getting some secret stuff under the table from the big red Netflix. So anyways, back to us. No, this was a fantastic race. That's why I had this idea. I can't wait for. Then again, I know that if he gets his way, Mr. Penske wants F1 back in Indiana. He flat out said it in a press conference recently, where he's like, "We want Formula One to race back at Indianapolis." I mean, good luck. I know that they have COTA and now the Miami Street Circuit, which mm-hmm. is going to probably be meh, but we'll see. But there's rumor they want to add another F1 track, and I bet Mr. Penske is going to be lobbying pretty hard for that. So, but I had this idea. I would love if one day we could have a playoff that was just a Hoosier series, and you could start it at IRP, then go to the road course at Indianapolis, and then go to the Oval, and then we can jog over to Chicagoland. But it's like, talk about saving travel costs. You could just keep it all in Indianapolis. But no, I mean, what a race. It was great fuel strategy, great driving. You never really know who's going to pull away with it. I mean, like you said, it looked like Parker or Peachin was going to run away with it as the two kept jockeying back and forward like nothing changed from Road America. The two of them just carrying that momentum. And then JW just pulled a classic JW kind of race and was, you know, in the hunt, boom, gotcha at the end. Which I just feels like is his style of racing, is that he'll just kind of come up and get you when you're not ready for him.
Like, even we were surprised, like, in the chat, like, we're like, "Oh, where are you running? Next thing you know, he's like, "Oh, I'm leading." We're like, "What? When did that happen? Like, when did that happen at all?" Like, we knew he was up there, but not leading.
Is he like, I feel like we definitely need to have him on the show one day, but is he one of like a guy who's a much calmer presence over the mic? Does he get fired up?
Interesting. He's quiet.
So. It's always funny to see how people's personalities carry through with I'm blanking right now, how their mentality plays on their racing, because you can definitely tell how some people drive with their emotions and others are very reserved, and I was just intrigued to see how he fit into that. But I mean, anything else we really need to hit on? This was a pretty solid race where a lot of guys showed interesting strategies and pace. I know we, on the broadcast, you talked about Telder looked really good.
Mm-hmm. That actually really surprised me, him being up there.
He's been getting better each week. He's had a lot of focus. I know this week's been kind of a rough week for him, but you know, he's had a lot of focus here the last few weeks, and he actually. Before I even knew that the points got reset for everybody, I thought it was just the top 10. He actually said, "I'll finish 11th at the end of the season." I was like, "Okay, you're like way behind." Of course, that went with the old point standings, and ironically, he sits 11th right now in points in the new point standings. So, so he's done his part there in saying what he was going to do. But you know, needless to say, our final four is set. You know, it was good to see a driver from the Midwest win at Indianapolis. Yep. That was kind of cool to see. And, you know, I think when it's all said and done, you know, I have a guy that I picked 4 weeks ago to win the championship sitting in the final four right now.
Now, I feel like this has been just talking all overall of how the playoffs have gone. Probably mm-hmm. our most competitive and dynamic playoff trio of tracks we've had to date. I think Gateway was a great race with a lot of different strategies and great racing, and Road America was, again, you weren't on the broadcast, but if you have any, you know, we didn't get to talk about it with you, but if you have any comments about how Road America went, feel free to toss them out. I'd love to hear them. Road America, I think, was our best road race we've ever done in this league, and it was a playoff race, and Indianapolis was what Indianapolis is.
I think Road America definitely played a real big role. I think it was one of those races where, as you watch it, the pack really didn't spread out much. That was one thing I caught later on in the race. I mean, we were getting close to competition caution. I'm looking over at the map on the screen, and I'm like, this field's still pretty stuck together. for a 4 mile track. And obviously strategy came into play with pit stops and things like that, and obviously for Dylan to go out there and win that race. And it was a really good race, and I think it set the tone, because I mean you're seeing the hottest four drivers right now on the circuit or up at the top right now.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see, you know, how this all plays out. And let's pull up our standings. I've got it right here. And your final four, as we have established before, is going to be Zach Ammann, who is, if, I guess you want to call it our one seed, who acquired the most playoff points at 499. Sitting right behind him is Sean Peachin, 467. After that, Sam Fontaine, 465, and Caden Atkins at 461. And the one bummer, this is how our system works, is Dylan Parker fell short at 446, and he did that not racing at Gateway. And he still was almost there, which is a shame, because he absolutely drove like someone who's, champion worthy, but he wasn't at Gateway, and that was a super bummer that he wasn't able to be there, because he definitely was knocking on that door and could totally be the number one seed right now because the way he's driving. But that's them's the breaks, and he'll be back next season. It's already confirmed, in fact, that the super team of PPM is going to be getting even more super, because technically Dylan Parker's team, even though they're sister teams, Performance Plus will have different drivers, and Parker will be moving over to the Peak Performance team. So that team is going to be stacked with Parker, right. Caden, Ammann, and Maori. Like, okay, sure. Like there, that's a that looks like a hard team to beat. But that's a very, very solid looking lineup. But our final four, I'll be honest, I cannot really make heads or tails of who's going to show up in this race, because it could be any of them. I just don't know.
Well, let's go back to last season, and I think we'll start with who didn't show up in that race and hopefully has learned his lesson from the Chicago race, and that was the whole PPM team.
Yeah.
Not just Zach Ammann. That whole team did not show up, period, last season. At the end of that season, I mean, Zach had the championship right there in his hands, potentially after his best season to date, and the whole team didn't show up. I mean, they fell back about mid pack, and I don't know if it was a fuel strategy or whatever, but it was back to the drawing board. PDQ.
I think Zach took damage in that race. I remember looking back. I think there was contact between him and maybe Alan Best. I don't remember. I think that was, I was trying to figure it out after we talked about it once, where like what happened to him. And I think he took damage, but that is something that has happened to him the past few seasons. I don't know who did it to that one season and took him out of the race. It couldn't have been me. There's definitely, with a race of that length, survival is a big part of the game, and the track doesn't give you a moment to breathe. So we were critical of Zach going into the playoffs, saying that we don't recognize this Zach Ammann, that he's not driving like Zach Ammann. He has the most incident points. He needs to step it up, and he absolutely has. It's just, can he, punch that ticket in when it counts? And Caden is kind of the same thing. Caden did what he needed to do in the playoffs. He's kind of tapered off, but he's been there or thereabouts the whole time. He did absolutely what he needed to do to make it to the final four. Just going to need to see him take that next step to be in the hunt. And, I mean, I think we agreed early, Sean seems to be the one with the momentum. But I can't dismiss Fontaine, because he has definitely been playing these last few races of just get to the dance and then do it. And so I'm not sure what to expect out of him, honestly. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry. I just didn't know if we disconnected or something.
Did I run away? No, I'm here.
So... I don't know. I, it, it will be exciting to see how these guys play the strategy out, because that is what really separates the Chicagoland race from the others, is just the length of it. You really have to think it through, and you can't just show up, drive fast, and be okay. You have to have a plan, and I guess we'll see how things go. And I'm curious what your two gut instincts are on our final four drivers.
I'm sticking to my guns that I went into the playoffs with. I think you're going to see Sean Peachin go out here and win this championship. He's been fast. He's been consistent. And I think that, he's probably out there running laps right now as we speak. But, like I said, I think you're going to see a different Zach and Caden probably in this race. They've been very consistent. They've been probably two of the more consistent drivers this season. But, Sam, I think, has been also very consistent at this track. I think you're going to see a pretty good fight between these four cars or four trucks up front. I could see Sean wrecking 30 other trucks to go get this championship.
Yeah, I can see that too.
He definitely had the hunger.
I want to see Sean win it, but my gut feeling said Sam's gonna win it. I don't know why, but all week I've been thinking about it. Like, no, Sam's gonna win this, and I think whoever wins the race will win the championship.
A Canadian supporting a Canadian. I see now. he's the sleeper. I mean, he is sort of the. You had last season's group. He is sort of the Blaine Sparling of that group, where I feel like you could, not that you wanted to dismiss him, because we know Fontaine is fast. It's just that he has his real speed has come much more on road courses, and he's definitely been there or thereabouts on a lot of ovals. But it's all about coming down to, how you do when. It counts. I mean, this season so far, five top fives, seven top tens, and one win. Definitely more of the, and considering this is his first season, that means that the majority of this season, he was there or thereabouts in the top 10, always knocking on the door. So, half of the regular season races, he was, including playoffs, nearly half. Again, just in that hunt, and that's what you need to be with this Chicagoland race. You just have to be there when the moment counts. Now, I it's really hard to not pick Sean, because he's just got that tenacity, that hunger. But I could see Zach wanting a bit of vindication, considering the last couple seasons he's just not been there. And I don't know. It's going to be exciting. That's what it's going to be. With the momentum Parker's carrying, he could win that race, and then it's who's going to take second or third. That's how this works out. We'll just have to see when that moment comes. But I'm super excited to see how things shake out on Friday night. So. Do you guys have any other comments that you want to toss out about our playoff drivers, the finale and historically how people have done?
Well, I mean, you've had two. This is going to be the third playoff championship race in the series history. Of course, going back to season three. And, of course, that was Ricky. And then last season it was, my brain just went bye-bye. Thank you, Blaine. So, we're one for two on having the champion win the race. So, I honestly think this is a field of four drivers that I think you're going to have to win this race.
Yep.
I think Chris mentioned earlier. You go back to the Xfinity Series this past season with Daniel Hemric. He never won a race in his career. And then all of a sudden, bam, goes and wins the final race, wins the championship. I mean, what perfect way to look at the one guy out of the four drivers who has not won a race.
Yeah, no, I'm looking here also historically at the our races that we have had at Chicagoland, and you know, it's interesting to see the you look at fastest laps. The fastest lap ever turned at Chicagoland in this league was by William Calhoun. Second is Zach Aumann. Fastest average lap is Zach Aumann. Zach Aumann's second in most lap leads. Now, that might just be the longevity of him being here in this league. But, I mean, that's where it just makes me... Zach, I feel like, has all the pieces to win this race. He just needs to follow through. He's been pole on Chicagoland twice. So, I just feel like if he can... The Zach we have seen this season has been on form with what he needs to win that race. And I feel like a lot of why we haven't really seen him knocking on the door too much. I mean, he was pretty fast at Gateway from what I can recall, but I think they actually are doing a good job of just making sure they get the trucks home. And maybe he wouldn't have done that two seasons ago. Now all the marbles are on the table. We'll see how it goes. It's hard not to pick Sean. He has the momentum. But I think Zach is going to be way tougher than we're probably giving him credit to be this at this finale. I think he will show up. I think we're going to see a great race out of Zach Aumann. So, historically, he's got it in him. I just want to see him bring out his best. Because I definitely feel like for the past few seasons now where he's been knocking on the door of being a easily a multiple-time champion in this league, it just hasn't come together in this race. So we'll see if he can make all the pieces align. But
well, and we've seen what he's willing to do to win the championship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's – last season – I know that those guys were pulling out all the tricks in the bag to try and slow down Blaine, you know, like, so I wonder if, you know, a few of them are going to go out there and try and be Sergio Perez and do some team orders and just try and slow the leader down. Cause they, again, there's a lot of guys who are in the PPM peak performance network of trucks. So it'll be interesting to see if, how they play as a team together. So, hey, Friday night, tune in and see it. It's going to be awesome. So, beyond that, I feel like that's pretty much it. And I can't wait. I loved how Indianapolis went. But now I want to talk about Chris Evans because we have been putting this off now for so long. And I deeply apologize to Evans because, I genuinely can't remember the very first time we said, hey, you should be on the show, and how long it has taken for us to actually get you on the show. But I appreciate your patience with us, and now you're finally here.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to be here now. Long time. Been waiting for 2 weeks now. I've been busy lately, but freed up some time.
So what... How excited are you that we're going to be going back to your speciality, Talladega? Because you are the master of that track.
I'm actually pretty stoked. I missed it this year, but next year definitely I'm going for win number three there.
Now correct me if I'm wrong, Scala, because I think I am remembering this right. Evans won our very first GLSR race, right? Yeah. So, like, how does that feel? Being, you know, you started in this league back then, got the very first win of this league's history and what it's now become, and the fact that you've repeated on that win there, you know, you definitely have a reputation of just seeing how much, you know, not only the league has grown, but how do you feel like you've grown as a person too?
Oh, this league, well, that first win, that was my first league win ever. I've been in so many leagues, and that was my first win on a league ever. That was insane. Now this league is pretty big and having a lot of fun, and now I'm known for being that guy who can get it done in super speedways.
Is it just a mentality thing, or do you think it's good teamwork? Like, why have you, what makes you successful?
it's everything. It's all the thinking. So like the way Dale Jr. said it, if you have a run, you don't pass it up. You're always going to take it. And then teammates also have to, like, I remember like the second Talladega race said it, I won. We just was like 15 to go. We all bunched up the top lane, just gone. So.
No,
it's definitely tricky. And that kind of thing. And it's a matter of surviving.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done.
Cause now you have no fast repairs compared to season one. We had the single one.
Yeah. It definitely has changed the dynamic. I mean, I remember we had the one Talladega race where I'm pretty sure it was Talladega, or was it Daytona? I think it was Daytona, where still, but just like you never really know what to expect with a plate track race. Some seasons it's just carnage. Some seasons people settle in, spread out, and it's a very different style of race. And I don't know what to expect when we turn up at Talladega. I mean, I'm a little nervous. Because, I mean, controversially or not, my calendar I made for this year, I think, mostly worked. But, you know, Auto Club didn't encourage that type of pack racing, that tight racing, yep, that you're going to get at Talladega. And I think we will have a pretty full grid come next season. So, you know, you like plate tracks. Would you be welcoming to the idea of iRacing Super Speedway, or would you prefer us staying at somewhere more within the realms of realism?
I think that track's a little too much, in my opinion, but you vote on it and it gets through, and then it gets through. If you don't, it don't.
I mean, if I'm pushing for any track, one day I will get Chicago Street, so help me God, but it might be to the detriment of everyone.
Yeah, let me know how that goes. So you mentioned there, Chris, that that was your first ever league win when that happened a year and a half ago, to go win that Talladega win. But I'm one that likes to kind of throw the nostalgia in there when it comes to asking people the questions. So I've got to ask, so what started Chris Evans on iRacing?
Honestly, it was, I think it was 2012. This is my whole life, my family race, now I do, and so like, so 2012 was the first year. I was like 12, or I was young, and then I got out of this a little bit, and I said, no, I'm doing it again. So I built a computer and got all the stuff for it and got back into it, and I really enjoy it, so I'm still doing it.
Now, when we had that first season, you know, the concepts of the teams were still pretty loosey-goosey and informal. How did you get, what was your connection with the other guys that eventually went on to form Ace Racing? Now, it's funny, Ace Racing, you know, as we all know, or if you don't know, was the four letters of the team members' names, Amon, Calhoun, Evans, Dean. And of which you were the only letter remaining of that original team.
Yep.
But how did that come together?
Honestly, because the first, I think it was until the Richmond race, I was with a team with Kyle Carroll, CCF Motorsports, and he kind of didn't race after like third race. And then I got talking to the guy who ran, actually, before Ace Racing, it was PPM. But, he saw me. He told me I can join up, and then the first two seasons, we kind of dominated.
Yeah, Ace Racing was the original dynasty team. Like, it's funny you think back on it now and seeing how guys have shifted around to different teams or have phased in and out of the league. You know, I hope one day we can get William Calhoun back in the league, but I mean, he was the original, like, I think about like the original intimidator of the league in that black and red 99. Like, that was the truck you just feared. And now you look at it and you've got Amon, and he's on, you know, the new PPM team, and Dean has gotten, you know, a few wins for Down Under Racing, and you know, you're still holding it down with Ace, and it's just funny how you know, guys shift around. But you know, tell me a little more about some of the other guys on your team, because it feels like you guys all have a good camaraderie and dynamic, which there are some teams where I feel like it's more informal, like, okay, we're going to race together because, you know, let's get some points. But you guys all seem like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you definitely seem like you're more, you know, you are friends on and off the set.
Well, I wouldn't say much of that, but like, it's just four guys who just want to have fun Wednesday nights and just race and see if we get some wins under our belts. But especially like last season, we didn't have JW, but we had it was Sean, and we practiced every second night, and the way we went there, and we were really close, and especially the Talladega win. But like that whole week we practiced, I think it was also with you guys at Down Under and Calhoun and them. So yeah, it's just the connections you make on the like this in the Discord chat, and so much fun to do. And yeah.
All right. Well,
you caught me mid-bite.
Oh,
good job.
I was wondering, like, man, Scal is going to take some time to really, you know, take that deep breath in
New York,
and think
here.
And ponder his next question for you. So,
New York pizza. Sicilian too. Anyways, you know, when you've done two broadcasts and now you're doing a podcast, you got to find time to eat.
Yep.
But needs to say, so you talked about his three teammates. I can kind of help him on this one, because the three of them I have raced with and broadcasted and stuff for years. I know Drift. I've known him for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Beatty's the same. And JW, I've known ever since I've gone back on to iRacing. Believe it or not, JW actually is the main reason that the league that my father and I found back in 2014 is still going. Believe it or not. You know, we've all gotten to know each other, and we all talk on the side and stuff, and they're all great people. Cody, believe it or not, I don't think we ever got a chance to talk about this when he was on, but he's a big tornado chaser.
Yeah, yes, he is.
you know, him and I talked about some of those Alabama storms they get out there and stuff like that, which I think is interesting considering what happened up in Missouri this past weekend and you know, Kentucky and stuff like that. Obviously sucks for them and hope for the best, but you know, Drift, I don't know too much about, because like I said, up till like last year, I'd never heard him talk.
Well, he talks a lot, man, in the chat.
You don't want to get on his bad side either.
Nope.
JW is kind of the same, but, you know, JW, you know, when I call him Mr. Tire Strategy, that dude will make a set of tires go 500 laps at Bristol if he had a choice.
Yep.
I mean, but all three good individuals, Chris being the same. That Ace team, it's a very underrated team.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good drivers there that, you know, when they have a clean race, can get out there and do their thing.
Yeah. I'm happy to see that, you know, and like one thing, the more this goes on, that I enjoy, thinking about and documenting and tracking is just the history of teams. And I'm glad that, you know, that team has carried its name and its banner this far. And I'd love to see how far we can keep it going. Cause I mean, that's the type of stuff that I look forward to. I mean, God willing that we can keep things running as good as we are, you know, 2 years from now or a year from now, that we see how different Ace is now or how many more wins they have. And that's the fun stuff I like seeing. Cause you know, life happens, and I'm sure, you know, for different people, they're going to have different life stages where they kind of come and go from the league. I mean, JW is a perennial example of someone who, you know, has come and gone, but we're always glad to have him, you know, as a place here. And it's great to see him and get that win at Indianapolis, because I know how much it meant to him. So, I don't know. I enjoy that still has kept on to this day. So, yeah. I've got some questions. We've got our questions here. We each have our five picked. I don't want to rush us into this part of the show, but I always love asking this question so we can take this section of the show a little slower. I ask it every show, every podcast, and it's that time again. What is the greatest race in the world?
Oh, that's actually I think with that one. I'm just going to Daytona 500.
It's a common answer, but it's hard to argue against it with how crazy it is.
I was ready for him to say the Iditarod.
Yeah.
Got eight dog power. I remember I had to do a really big project about that because I had a Husky for a while, and I don't know, I did some book reports, so I did it on Iditarod. So anyways, you were saying...
You actually did book reports?
Yeah.
No, I never did homework.
Yeah, well.
Anyways, yeah. That's why I'm a streamer now of iRacing. Anyways, let's see. What is playing on the Chris Evans playlist right now?
A lot of country. A lot of Kenny Rogers, Lenny Travis, anything really country.
Who would... I mean, what's the song you have on loop right now with that, with country music? Because I don't know anything about country music.
Let me check. I think my top song of 2021 was The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. So I'm going to say that one.
Wow. All right.
I mean, that's like pre all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely pre-Evans. I did not realize I was looking through all the like career info stuff, and we definitely need to do a re-update of that stuff of our yep. ages. And I was like, wait a minute, Chris Evans is only 19. Well, 19 at that, and I did the math in my head. I'm like, are you only 21? He's like, yeah, I'll be turning 21 yeah. soon. And I don't know why. I'm like, man, I thought you were a lot older. So... Oh well, I mean, I'm getting older too, so that's how it goes. Speaking of music, though, if we got to have any song, you know, no licenses, worried about, if you get to pick the official GSLR theme song, what would it be?
Oh,
I have a guess now.
That's I don't know. Something upbeat. Trying to think in a lot of country, but Hypnotized by Notorious B.I.G.
Wow!
Yeah, that was out of left field. But
Matt
I love
Telder
it.
Is going bananas right now listening to this podcast. It's kind of funny because we actually had a debate. I tried to get it going on Discord. It did not work this week. But of course, apparently Zach Allman is a fan of some Ubi Vert
single
jiggy. Yeah, that guy. And I'm just like, do these kids even know what like real music is?
No.
So like we spent a whole entire hour after the race Wednesday night. Matt and I were going back and forth, dropping artists and songs and stuff like that. And it was funny because like every 10th song, Noah Maori is like, hey, I like that one. Yeah, I like that one. You know, just one of those. And of course, Allman, we ain't heard a word from since. So, you know, we probably vert his feelings. But needless to say, I was surprised your answer, though, was like No One to Hold Him or No One to Fold Him by Kenny Rogers.
Yep.
But that's just me. Islands in the Stream. Yeah. Anyways. He's over scratching his head right now.
Is it my question or your question? I think it's your question.
It is my question, but you did kind of ask it earlier.
I did not realize that I did do that. I read that. I was like, oh, whoops.
Good job. Yeah. So you kind of answered it a little bit, but now that, you know, it's been a year and a half ago when, you know, you passed Christopher Dean to win the first race in this league's history.
Yep.
How big is that win now as you think about it?
Oh, probably the biggest. I think I have like 40 or 50 wins in iRacing. That's probably the biggest one on iRacing, probably close to even real life. Like that one, three or four races, so probably up there, top five.
I mean, that's still a pretty good catalog of wins, because I think my... Let me think. I'm really going to think of it. I think I have won all time on iRacing. I think I've only won two official iRacing iRaces. So, you know, I got to work on that. But
yeah, most of my wins are legend cars or super late models.
I was going to say, were you the only one in the race, Sam?
Oh, well, you know, you didn't have to be like that, man. You know, take a guy when he's down. I have a, you know what? No, come on. I have a half decent week in Indianapolis, and you're still gonna praise me when I, you know, can't hear you. But when I actually can hear you, you're still gonna take a dig at me.
Hey, I'm just gonna put it like this. I mean, I was the spotter for your best finish in this league's history. So, just saying.
All right. I mean, well, oval finish
and road course.
Which road course?
Well,
did I not tell you what strategy you should do when you ran CTMB?
Well,
and you and Blaine finished second and
that
third?
That was a tie for my best finish, and you were not, you know, in my ear the whole race. Okay, this is not about me. This is about Chris Evans. So, God.
Now, if only my actual team would listen to me.
You know, one of these days, No. I'm not going to make this.
Let me just go ahead and put the side note out there real quickly. So Brandon Alphen had like some kind of computer issue. So the caution comes out at what was it? It was like 30 or so to go. It was that last caution, pretty much. We were going to have the lead to the fuel mileage, and I actually muted my stream. You can hear it. I do this every once in a while. I mute my stream, and because who was it was watching was like, dude, no audio.
Oh yeah!
I didn't realize that when I mute my stream, I'm going down to talk. So I go down and try to talk to Brandon, and I was going to say to him, and I quote, "Brandon, run the fuel out and see what happens." Of course, the caution comes out at the end of the race. But anywho, I digress. He ended up having screen issues and wrecked. But yeah.
All right, so Evans. The zombie apocalypse is coming, and you have to pick out three guys from GSLR to be on your survival squad. Who are you picking out?
Bye.
I'm going to say Dean, because he was in the military. Most of the guys, but I'm going to say Dean, because I actually know him. And definitely not Armin. Dean, Talhoun, and Scala.
Whoa!
See, you did make the squad.
The hell are you thinking?
Oh, man. Hey, but he did. He was wise. He didn't pick me, so he's still thinking pretty smart.
I guess maybe he's trying to say, I'll talk somebody's ear off.
You gotta survive in a multitude of ways when the zombie apocalypse comes.
I mean, I've kind of got my three already. I was thinking about it just now.
Who would they be?
Dylan Glass.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Dalton. See last year's superlatives, and you'll see why that one is picked. And I think I'd have to go with Telder, too, because Telder would at least be able to supply my sanity by supplying Captain Morgan or something to get me through it.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Those are definitely both interesting. I feel like there's definitely like a common trait between all of those. But
well, if we had a female, I would definitely put that person in there too. But that would only be because, like, I don't know, maybe the zombies are attracted to females or something.
Gonna have to think about that one. But I do think you
I don't know.
I think you got another question though.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, what's the biggest thing we don't know about you?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the biggest thing. This is kind of funny. I'm not sure if putting this in the chat though, but a twin rig. I think who's the 19th, Cedric?
Yes, Cedric Ingram.
He sprained my wrist because he plowed into me at the because when I started down the long streak down the hill, we had contact before, and then, yeah. But also,
do you have like a direct drive wheel or something?
Yeah.
Oof.
But
that's not the first time I've heard of that happening, actually, to somebody.
Me too. But most of you guys.
I'm not talking about Cedric. I'm talking about spraining the. I'm talking about spraining the wrist part.
Yeah. I mean, I heard people break their actual wrist doing it, but not spraining. It was kind of my own fault that I wrecked and I kind of put my hand through my wheel to go to the keyboard, but.
Well, you know, having the whole context definitely.
There's a reason why I don't force feedback.
Yeah.
You put my wrist in anybody.
Ever since then, I turned it down, so.
Don't need that super strong resistance, but I can't wait to get mine in the mail whenever it comes. Come on, Fanatec, hurry it up. All right. Yeah. If you could race in any era of NASCAR, what time of history would you pick?
Oh, 90s. Easy.
Yes. Yes. And we've been telling Sam this, and he don't listen to us.
Okay, but like, okay, what team, what number? Like, give me the whole nine yards. What team would you want to be on?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Any team that Dale's on, because I don't want to get ran over.
I was going to say, that's a really good question to ask me thinking over here, because there's so many options that, like, you could think. I mean, you could say Hendrick in the early days, because at that time in the late 90s, you got Gordon, you got Terry Labonte, you got Ricky Craven at the point. You got those guys running that car. If you go early 90s, you can go to Junior Johnson and see what that team was all about with Elliott and Sterling Marlin and at the time Bobby Labonte too, and those guys there. But I have to agree with Chris here. I mean, I would like to know what it was like to work for Richard Childress when in the 90s.
Yep. All those championships.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a lot I'm still learning. I'm trying to do my history every now and then.
We gave you a list of races to go watch.
I've been watching them, but I've also been trying to like listen to podcasts. I'm switching it up. You know, I can't just sit down and watch a race all the time. So I'm like trying to get some audio history. Been trying to listen to some Dale Jr. download every now and then.
That's what I was going to say. I listen to a lot of that.
I will admit, mm-hmm. I was way more interested in the Kevin Harvick episode than I thought I was going to be. So, you know, I'm trying. I'm learning a lot.
You get some really intriguing stuff out of that. Like, I've listened. I mean, I think back to like the Jimmy Means episode where he talks about going and looking like, I forget what year it was, at Daytona. There was a part of his car that like apparently he had to have and he could not get on track until he found it. And so he drove around the whole city of Daytona, went to like every auto parts store and anywhere he can go. And he finds the part on the same exact, I think it was a 72 Challenger or something like that. I forget what the exact car was, but the model he actually pulls into a McDonald's and somebody had the same exact car he's racing with the stuff he needed. And he literally went and stole it off the car. Those are the kind of stories you find on this show.
Well, also, my favorite, I got two favorite ones. It's one with Ken Schrader when he took Junior on a little trip. And also the DW cheating stories.
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
That was a good one.
But and that's kind of funny you say that, because that was kind of my mindset when we're sitting here. Like, when I ask you, hey, what started you on iRacing and stuff like that is you kind of get that show. You get all the stuff that we don't know about these drivers.
Yeah.
And that was my mindset. It was like, I want to get to know these drivers. I want to know who Chris Evans is. I want to know who Sean Peachin. I want to know who Blaine Sparling or any of these guys, you know? Because it's like that part, not only one, we all get to hear it. Like, who knew that Noah Maori broke his back in football? Not in football, but in high school. No one, you know? But it's stuff that, you know, we can share, and it's kind of cool. So anyways, enough about that.
Sorry, I was just imagining what I want the next big I don't know what made me think of this. I think we were just talking about like just the history of NASCAR, and I've always enjoyed whenever those NASCAR F1 ride swaps happens. And I really, really need Danny Rick And I guess it's usually the last year's champion, so I guess Kyle Larson. But I think like we need Kyle Larson and Danny Rick to do a wide swap in Abu Dhabi. Can Rick Hendrick fly out the 5 car real quick for us?
It's possible.
So, all right.
Well, I mean, some people were trying to get Larson to drive Mazepin's car today.
Yeah.
Well, I bet Haas didn't even have the money for it, but they're we'll see how they pan out next season with their Russian plan. Anyways, I think you have a question.
Yeah, I do. Of course, Christmas is coming here in 2 weeks from yesterday. What is the earliest you've ever woken up on Christmas Day?
Oh, probably 4:35 o'clock in the morning.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Early.
It's one of those things you wake up as a kid and you were like, okay, it's 3 a.m. I can't go back to sleep. Let's open presents.
Yep.
See, I remember there definitely was one time I tried to stay up or get up really early and I beat my parents out of bed. And there was this moment of like, oh no, they're not here yet. What does it mean? and it was definitely at that age where like Santa was still definitely Santa in the picture. And I remember there was a lot of confusion. I was like,
what do you mean Santa is not, what are you talking about?
So my next question is, continuing on the theme of Christmas stuff, would you rather eat a candy cane that tastes like turkey or a turkey that tastes like a candy cane?
That's a good question. I want to say candy cane tastes like turkey.
I have to agree. Because, man, I don't know if I could have a big, hot, minty thing.
Yeah.
And nothing like peppermint meat. Mm.
If we had video of my face right now.
That'll be in the next generation of Just Here for the GSLR. I want one day, I want this podcast to actually, like, be a video aspect to it. But I want us all to, like, enter into a... I don't know, like a street stock race, and then we podcast and race at the same time. I feel like that'd be
That'd be fun.
Maybe.
Are you stealing my idea, Sam? Are you in my head right
yes.
now?
Yes. So,
because you're leading into an announcement I'm making in the future.
Oh man. Well, you're not doing it with me then. Or are you doing it with me? Have you not told me yet?
It was kind of going to be me, but you could be involved later.
I'm just going to barge my... No, it's fine. Anyways.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Anyways,
going to take all those wins out of that sale.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I hope you wreck next week. Anyways, so is Sam's question the weirdest question you've ever heard?
One of, yes.
Look, definitely, weird is my MO.
Yeah.
Look, I know my brand. I know who I am. But also, Chris, I can't wreck out next week because I'm not going to be in the race. But I'm glad that you want me to crash out again at my home race. I'm glad that you want me to continue my suffering.
Well, you'll still find a way to wreck. I see it already.
Oh, you just can't let me have nice things. So,
well, I mean, it's not like I don't have a plan to announce a new show on my YouTube channel probably in the next week or so that might involve us racing while we interview. But, you know.
Hey, we'll say you heard it here first, folks. So,
the tease.
Anyways, very exciting week coming up. Can't wait to have the season come to its dramatic conclusion. And I hope that we have a great race between our four drivers. And I know each of us have tentatively tossed out names, but before we sign off, each one of us needs to say who we think is going to win that race at Chicagoland. Fine, I'll make it twofold. I want to know who the winner of the race is, but I also want to know who the champion is. Could be the same guy, could be different people. So, I'll go first. I think that the winner of Chicagoland is going to be, I'm going to go crazy on this one. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be, wow, I really am still, now I'm looking at the list of.
Well, we welcome you tonight to Chicagoland Speedway for the race here as we're broadcasting.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be Alphen. I think Alphen's going to win the race.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
wait a minute.
And
are you saying my first win as a team owner?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. Ever? I think you're going to get your first. I think it's going to be another unexpected race where all of a sudden people are going to be way off strategy, and we're going to have a first-time winner, and I think it's going to be the first win for TIX. But I think that Sean Peachin will still be the champion of the drivers, but I think it's going to get mixed up on strategy because of a late caution. So what are you thinking?
I think you're sucking up to me after you ruined the secret of the damn.
Me? Never. What do I have to lose? I'm only just going to.
Is my guilt trip working at all?
A little. You can just keep dragging my poor driving abilities. It's fine. One day
you're not as bad as you
one
think.
One day I'm going to get.
You're not as bad as you think.
We'll see.
I've seen worse, trust me.
That's not much either. Anyways, who are you two? Who's going to win?
How the Bears doing anyway? Who do I think is going to win? I think it's a simple pick. I'm sticking with my guns. Sean Peachin
for the
wins of both.
Double.
Wins the race and the championship. Mm-hmm.
All right. And what about you, Evans?
I'll say Fontaine's going to win the race and the championship.
Oh, wow.
Right. He's staying true to O Canada on that one, but I like that. All right, well, can't wait. Super excited. It's going to be a great race. Thank you for listening. And as always, huge shout out to Black Horizon. If you're ever in the Chicagoland area, flying to either of those airports, Black Horizon is not far from either of them. It's pretty much smack dab in the middle. So should you be flying in the Chicagoland area for this Christmas season, do it. Otherwise, remember, we are just here for the GLSR. See ya. All right. We'll send Gregory away, and then we're good to go.
I'm so mean.
You are. I don't deserve this.